Well, today I thought tonight we would look at a lesson here talking about the church. And when you use the word church, it means different things to different people. That basically, I think if you would go out and randomly ask people, what do you think of when you hear that word church? You may get answers like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about exactly. Or people may think about maybe a little country congregation that they used to go to, or maybe a huge complex and a building that has a steeple on it and a cross on it. Maybe they would talk about a church building has pews and Bibles and stained glasses, and they would describe more or less a structure when they talk about the church. Others may view the church as a place by which you go to have something done that does things for you. The church marries you. The church baptizes you, christens you, or the church annuls your marriage, or the church performs your funeral, or give you the last rites, or the church ordains clergy and gives light, those kind of things. They view the church as, again, an institution you go to for a service. Much like you would if you talk about IBM or Walmart or some other kind of institution like that. And so we thought we'd just spend some time talking about the word church, Don. And first of all, and probably some of you have heard this, have seen this before, and that is the word translated as church is from the Greek word ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And sometimes you find it spelled with C's instead of K's, and I'm really not sure why, to tell you the truth. But the word itself really has a very simple definition, and that means to call out. It means to separate a group from a greater group. And it doesn't necessarily, in the original language, does not necessarily imply anything religious in nature. Now, in our terminology today, when we hear the word church, generally people think of something tied in with religion. But actually, in the Greek, the word itself is the idea of to separate. And so you can think about this in, again, non-religious terms. And a lot of times when I use the illustrations, people look at me like, really, Dennis? But really, the idea is, for instance, a ball team. You look here at Grayson County and you realize that this fall or this winter time, they'll put a football team out on the playing field or a basketball team in the gym. And you realize that everybody on that team goes to school there. But not everybody goes to school there actually is on the team. That a student just can't walk out of the stands all of a sudden and say, give me the ball and I know to play. That in order to be on the team, they had to have done certain things to actually earn their way onto that team to be able to wear the uniform. And so they are a group of players that have been separated from the great student body, the general student body. Or you may think about this in the sense of livestock, of cattle. And reading all the Western, seeing all the Western movies, we've all seen the idea of taking cattle and branding them, putting your stamp on those cattle, and then they go out there and roam on the free range. And the reason you did that is because you had other cows out there, other livestock, and they were all intermingled. But then when it came time where you wanted yours separated from the general group of livestock, you had to have a way of doing that. And so that was your ecclesia, your called out group of livestock, basically is the idea there. And so when we look at it, though, in the religious sense, really what it means is, religiously, we use the word church referring to those who have been called out of the world, again, the general population, into Christ, the more limited sense, a particular group of people. And so we look and find out that it's all talked about being called out, and those who may not even use the word church, but maybe talk about being called out into the kingdom of Christ. Over in Colossians 1 verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and that's the world in general, the people out there in sin, and conveyed us, or some translations would say translated us, transferred us, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There the word church is not actually used, but it's talking about those who have been separated, those who have been called out of the world, as you would say. And Jesus makes a point that his disciples are going to be those who are not of the world. In the world, but not of the world, we may say. And he talks about that in John 15, verse 9. If you were of the world would love its own. Obviously, in the world here, talking about the group of people out there. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Why is it they were persecuting Christians in the first century? Because they weren't like everybody else. Why is it you think about those who, you know, were willing to die for Christ? Well, the rest of the world was willing to do that. And so he simply points out his disciples were those who would be called out of the world. Then we look at it a little more, you find that in the usage of the word. In the Old Testament, the word church, ekklesia, is translated about 40 to 50 times in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we find it is referred to, for instance, as assembly. Not even translated the word church. Over in Acts, the 7th chapter, Stephen is preaching on that occasion. In Acts 7, verse 38, and it said, this is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness. Now, some translations, the American Standard, I believe the King James also has here of the church in the wilderness. And he's talking about children of Israel and out there, while they're wandering out there from Egypt before they will go to the land of Canaan. And somebody reads the word church there and says, hold here, you mean the church existed back then? Well, no, there was a group of people been separated. These were the congregation of the wilderness, where the angels spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. And again, referring to the fact that when they go to Mount Sinai, God gave them the law of Moses. Now, who's the them? Those men called out. Those who left Egypt, those who goes to Mount Sinai. That did not include everybody else. In fact, over in Deuteronomy 9, verse 10, referring to this event here, and there it said, then the Lord delivered me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Then were all the words the Lord has spoken to you on the mountain in the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. The day, again, of the ekklesia, the called out, is used right there. And going on over in Deuteronomy 18, verse 16, it says, according to all you desire the word of God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see his fire, great fire, anymore, lest I die. Again, referring to Mount Sinai, they're called Horeb, but the idea is that when they were there at Mount Sinai, the earthquake and the smoke and the fire, and the children of Israel said, you know, you, Moses, deal with God and let us out of this. Well, just let us not see all this. So he said, that's the assembly, though. The ekklesia is used in that passage. In the New Testament, again, we find a Hebrew writer uses some Old Testament passages and use the idea of assembly for ekklesia. And for instance, over in Hebrews 2 verse 12, says, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. In the midst of all the others come together, I'm going to sing these songs of praise to you. And honestly, when you read through this, okay, well, who's the separate group? And the separate group, honestly, here's Israel. That they were separated, God all the way from the time of talking to Abraham, when he chose him and his family, all the way through Jacob and talk about the children of Israel here, that when they go to and Egypt, they are still separated. When they come down to Egypt, they are a separated group of people, and God does this for a reason. For a specific purpose he does, and that is to make them different. He's dealing with them in a different means, in a different way. Now, there don't be holy and special. That's what's talked about here in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, again, just think about how he's describing them here. Chosen. Chosen by who? Chosen by God. A royal priesthood, distinct from the other priesthood around. There were other priests. We read about Melchizedek and about him being priest to God. But this here would be a different type of priesthood. A holy nation. There were other nations around them that surrounded them. But they were, again, were distinct, were different. For what purpose? As all special people. Everybody's special in one sense, but these were, we may say, more special than everybody else. And then it goes on that you may, and for a reason, and this is that you may proclaim the praise of him that called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. That's who we're being separated. That's the purpose of all this. And New Testament, let's go on, we see the word ekklesia is used 115 times in the New Testament. And again, it kind of depends on the usage as far as how it's translated. For instance, over in Acts 19 chapter, Paul's at Mars Hill, and you read there about the preaching of the gospel and the great responses that was bringing as people were bringing their magic, books of magic and and burned them, and people were turning away from the goddess Artemis. And basically, as you read them through this passage, verse 32, "Sun therefore cried one thing, and that is the people of the town got in an uproar. Sun cried one thing and some another, for the assembly," that's the word ecclesia, "the assembly was confused." You know, they weren't even organized. Then this here, they're basically a mob people. Most of them did not know why they come together. They were distinct, they were working, they were doing things, but they were assembled here, a confused group of people. As you go on in this chapter, and you find in verse 39, when the town magistrate comes, they talk about the lawful assembly. Now here's, again, kind of distinction made, and that is earlier they were a mob, and now they're trying to do things in a lawful way, but then you go on down and I pass verse 41, and there again, they're more like a mob, and again, this translates the word assembly there. And so they find it used kind of different ways in different passages. And sometimes it's used, in fact, a lot of times it's used to refer to something more than just ordinary group of people, though. And that's where we talk about church in the religious sense, and since as far as connected with Christ. And so we go on a little bit here, and we see that, for instance, that church, though, is a collective noun. And what I mean by that is that it's made up of plurality of what it is you're talking about. And I give you some examples here. For instance, a team. A team, baseball, has 9 players. Okay, football, 11 starters on each side. Basketball, 5 players start. Now, you can have a player, but that player is not the team. You can have a jury. And realize a juror, a person may be a part of the jury. They may be a juror, but they're not the jury. Or you may look at the idea of a committee or a flock. If I would tell you, you know, I have a flock of, or I have a herd of cattle. And you would answer, you say, "Well, how many do you have?" And I say, "One." Well, you know, you would tell me, that's not a herd. You know, that's one cow. That's all you got there. That's right. But when you have a multiplicity and multitude of them, then you have a flock. So same thing is here. Is there a distinction between one and the whole group? The idea of a chain. A chain is made up of links, but one link does not make the chain. So the idea of the church here is a collective noun, as often used in the Bible. Over in Jesus promised to build his church and his ecclesia. Matthew 16, verse 18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." When you look there, you see the church here, honestly, it's talking about the people. Whenever we read the word church, we should automatically think of people. That's the main usage here. Just as a herd of cattle is not an institution. A herd of cattle is not a building, an organization. And so in this case here, it's the people, the disciples following after Christ. That's the church talked about. And so it's not a building, but a collective group of people. The question of people is the idea of the word church we're talking about right now. And then also we find that some things you know about this church, though, that makes it, again, distinct, that called out from everything else. And one is that when Jesus says, "I will build my church," he's not talking about the Jewish nation. And that's already been established. That had already been done way back there in Mount Sinai. And so he's not talking about the Jewish nation being his church. But what he's talking about is those who belong to Christ. Those who have been called out by Christ into him. We may say it's the idea of church. And he uses this, again, kind of the illustration of a shepherd and a sheep. And that is, he talks about in John, the 10th chapter. He says, "Most surely I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." You have this group of sheep, you have the door, you have the entrance into them. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice." Now notice this point here, the sheep hear his voice. He can call them out. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They are those who are willing to submit to him, those who follow after him. Then go down verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, well, sure I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And so his sheep are those who listen to his voice, those who follow him, those who enter in by him. That's who his sheep are. That's defined for us here in John 10 chapter. And so again, it's the group here then. And church then is a bunch of people who have been called out by Christ and they follow him. It's really a simple definition about this here. And we read about the church in various places, a group of people doing that. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. The church of God was at Corinth, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Notice they're sanctified. You know, cleansed, we may say, called to be saints. Again, distinct from everybody else. With all to every place. Not just here at Corinth, but every place, call the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord, both theirs and ours. So they all fall in the same shepherd. They're all listening to the same voice. They're all following after him. And so they are the ones that he's talking about in this passage. So when we read about the word church, we're not talking about seven distinct church buildings. When we read about the seven churches of Asia, for instance. You're not reading about seven distinct church buildings. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about seven distinct denominations. He's talking about people that are following him in seven different places. That's really the idea of the word church. Much like when over in Acts 20 chapter, when he calls the elders and asks us to be him and I lead us. And Acts 20 verse 28 says, therefore take heed to yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, the shepherd of the church of God, which he has purchased his own blood. And so when you read the word church there, we understand again, as those group of saints at Ephesus, they specifically talking about. Your job is to watch after those folks right there. And so that's the idea. The church is a collection of people then. But then another thing about it, not only is it a collective group of people, but also it's a nondescriptive noun. And what I mean by that is that really the word church has to have something to help us understand what it's talking about. It has something to define, of course. For instance, a collection of people are not descriptive of self, descriptive self. For instance, if I would say, again, maybe the idea that, you know, I have a favorite team. Okay, you may say, okay, well, what team? Well, I'll just say a team. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But then I may say, well, I have a favorite football team. Well, now we actually narrow down a little bit here, and that, okay, that we're not talking about baseball or basketball or any other hockey. We're talking about football. Okay, yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of football teams out there. But then they actually define it by saying a specific city. And then it narrows it down. Okay, what team plays that city? And so as you use these descriptive terms, I would say, I have a favorite team, for instance, maybe the Green Bay Packers. Okay, that defines it pretty well for you, what team I'm talking about then. But team by itself really doesn't help you out to understand who I'm talking about. Much like the idea of the Jewish nation as a group of people, the mob of Ephesus was a group of people, and the Christians at Corinth are all group of people. If I just say group of people, you still say, well, what group of people? How you don't define them? And so we look at it, we have to understand that there are certain terms you use in the Bible, so it has to help us understand what he's talking about. Again, if I would say house, the house, and just leave right there over in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, talking about how one ought to behave themselves in the house. So I just, you stop right there, don't use any other phrase. You have actually no idea what I'm talking about. But of God. Now that defines who the house is. If I would talk about Ephesians 1st chapter, verse 21 22. And there he's talking about that God had placed Christ above the church and that the position he has, and I would say the body. He's the head of the body. And again, you know, we may infer things about that, but the body of Christ. Alright, that tells me again what who the body is. Or maybe if I look at it, talk about the temple. Well, the Jews, if they use the word temple, would automatically assume that's talking about the temple in Jerusalem. But then I would talk about the holy temple in the Lord. Again, that defines for us better who I'm talking about. And so really needs more as far as a way of identifying. And so the body and the kingdom of the Son that I talked about over in Colossians 1 verse 19, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us or delivered us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so he doesn't just use the word kingdom there, but he defines for us of his Son. So the noun here has to have a descriptive phrase with it as a point. And so we look at and we find, for instance, that our radio church God at Corinth. Well, yeah, that's about a way of identifying the Christians there. They were of God. They have been sanctified. If I remember at Antioch, as a young boy going out there now and then, and their plaque over the door there, the building was Romans 16 verse 16. And, you know, that there has always stuck with me because what does it say in Romans 16 verse 16? The churches of Christ salute you. Okay, that was great. But now that's why that plaque is over there over the door. But again, if you just say the churches salute you, well, that again, you know, who's that talking about? Well, of Christ. Or maybe we talk about, again, the idea of the household of God. So those who are following Christ, those who have are keeping his commandments, those who are have baptized them, those who have been sanctified, redeemed, they are the church then. And so as you look at the body needs identification. This is my point. I have a collective noun that it needs descriptive phrase that identify who we're talking about. And the final thing here in this lesson is simply the fact of usage. And that is, you look at the word church, and I remember Brother Leroy Brownlow has a workbook that had been out for many years of Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. And as you read through that book, you realize they use that word church in different ways. Sometimes the word church is used in the Bible as, one way. This way. There. As the whole body of saints, all those who are saved, all those who are in Christ throughout the whole world. And so there's the idea of if you are part of the saved, then again, you are part of that church. And over in Hebrews 12 verse 23, says a general assembly and church of the firstborn are registered in heaven to God the judge of all, to the spiritual just men made perfect. So if somebody said, well, I can be saved and not go to church. Well, maybe not to a particular congregation, but you have to be a part of his body in order to be saved. And so here's the idea of those who are saved are part of that universal church. But then also sometimes used in a sense of when we come together. And somebody said, well, I gotta go to church. And I understand we're not talking about the building. That's not, but you look here, it is used in a sense of the assembly of the saints together. At Corinth, when they had the spiritual gifts and kind of misuse those gifts, that there Paul, in addressing that, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 28, said, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and God. Now there the idea of church means when they are assembled together. And so there the word church used there in assembly sense is right there, the religious meeting together. And then also there are times as used in a sense of those who are following Christ living in a particular area. The church at Jerusalem. The church at Ephesus. We find the word church used for a whole region, the churches of Galatia. And there are various congregations in Galatia, but they were all different Christians, a part of the church. And so it could be the idea of one area, people live there. And then also, as you think about the church then, again, going back to John 10th chapter, about Jesus talking about being a door to sheep and the sheep following after him, it's the people who obey the voice of our Lord. That's who the church is. And so it's talking about those who have been saved from their sins. And Mark 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so you're only those who are been saved from their sins. As those who have been added to the body of Christ, in Acts 2 verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And so those who have done that, those who are living faithfully to God's word. At church Ephesus, he talks about being faithful unto death. And so those who are doing that, being faithful to his word, are part of that church as defined for us in the Bible. And so they're the ones who composed the church then. And so that's the whole point of the lesson, which to get to that point as far as understanding who the church is and how the word church used different ways in the Bible. And of course, and our desire is always to be a member of that church. And that is, sometimes you want to be a part of maybe a particular different organization. They want to be saved, but they want to be a part of a particular organization. Well, the church is the saved. And so that's what we need to be a member of. I do appreciate your attention tonight as I study this lesson. And it's the thing about that which Christ bled for and died for shows us the value of it. It also shows us God's love for us, that He has willing to send His Son to die for us. And be a part of that body is the greatest thing that we can do in our lives. That it gives us the opportunity to go to heaven and have fellowship with God. And so we should always value what Christ did and what the church is for us and what we do together. We have the songs with them now as we look at it, verse 28. If there's any way we can aid you tonight, I want you to let us know as we stand and as we sing.